Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. This morning we're going to be talking about a business here in Jessamine County that's been around since the 1950s. It's played an integral part in decorating and home supplies. That's Carpenter's Dish Barn on US 27. We're going to be talking to Monty Carpenter this morning all about the Dish Barn, how it got started, and what its future holds. We'll do that right after this word.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning. We're going to be talking today about a place here in Jessamine County that's been around for quite a while. It's not always been where it's located now, but we're going to get the story on that. But it has provided to a lot of people, not only from Jessamine County, but from all over Kentucky, a place to buy things for their home and to buy flowers, just all kinds of stuff. And that's Carpenter's Dish Barn. And with us today, we have Monty Carpenter. He's going to tell us all about his mom and dad and how that got started. Monty, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you came in, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk about your parents and Carpenter's Dish Barn. We'll start right at the start. Now, tell us who your parents were and where they were from, and maybe even how they met.
Arden Carpenter was his name, E.A. Carpenter, and my mother's name was Rosalie Carpenter. She was a Robinson.
Now, were both of them from here originally?
He's from Lexington, I think.
Okay.
And she was from Harrisburg, I guess, or over Brooklyn, other side of Brooklyn.
So somehow they found their way to Jessamine County.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back several years ago. Now, do you have any idea when they got this idea to open a place up and to sell whatever it was to sell? Do you remember how that started or when it would have started, maybe?
Well, my father was in the chicken business, and the chickens got a disease, and a bunch of them died, so he couldn't make a living doing that. And he had worked in Akron, Ohio. He worked at P.F. Goodrich. And while he was up there, there was a factory up there that made enamelware, what's called enamelware, the dish pans and water buckets and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So he remembered that, and he went up there and got a bunch of dish pans mm-hmm. and come back and peddled them to country stores.
Down around here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And me and mother was taking care of the chickens, and he started selling enamelware to country stores.
Basically out of the trunk of his car.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it was a 48 Chevrolet.
You remember the time.
Yeah, right.
Well, and I guess it did so well, he figured, hey, maybe we need to open a little place.
Well, he sold all those dish pans. He went back and got some water buckets and tea kettles and all the different stuff, you know. And then he finally got him a small panel truck, a little half-ton panel truck. And then he got a one-ton panel truck.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started selling a few dishes. There's a lot of dinnerware factories up around Ohio then, you know, some of the, because they've all moved to China since.
Right.
They used to all be right up around Ohio.
Yeah.
So he'd go around and pick up the dishes, odds and ends at the factories, started peddling them along with the dish, you know, the enamelware.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picked up glass, started carrying glassware, too. And
so he finally got to a point where he couldn't put all this in that truck. He had to do something.
Well, he had all these routes, different routes in Kentucky that he was delivering that stuff to these country stores. Well, we had some of it out there in the garage where we was loading trucks out of the garage and stuff, and people got stopping in and buying stuff. So then the next thing you know, we had an old chicken house down there. It was empty where we sold the chickens out. So they went down there and fixed some tables up and put some stuff down there in the old chicken house on the tables. And he run a little ad in the Lexington paper. I never will forget it. Because I went to the lake and went swimming. I didn't even stay there. It was my mother and my cousin, Sally Peel.
Right. Who's married to former Sheriff Benny Peel.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he run this little ad in the Lexington paper, and he went to Ohio to get a load of merchandise. Well, they just swamped the place. Just that little bitty ad in the Lexington paper.
Yeah. Now, this was out of a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Or
chicken house.
Or kind of
it was an old chicken house is what it was. And so then when I come in, cars was parked everywhere.
Wow.
On the roads and everywhere. So I helped get the cars out and get them straightened up where they could get in and out. That was the start of it.
Now, what year would that have been, Monty?
That would have probably been 55.
Okay. 55. And how old were you at that time?
I was about 16.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in school.
So you saw it from the start. Oh, you were old enough to realize what was going on. And because it was in a chicken coop or a little barn, I guess, that was the start of the dish barn. Is that right?
Right. We was buying stuff, glassware. He was buying glassware in Cincinnati at a place called the Glass Barn. And that's where he got the idea for the dish barn.
Dish barn. In the garage and the chicken
house. In the chicken house. Then Mr. Denny, he called him Lawyer Denny. I don't know whether you remember him or not.
No, I don't. I have heard of him.
He's the Heathman family that was.
Yes.
We bought that place off of him.
Now, you're talking about the one on Nixville Road?
No, I'm talking about the one on Union
Mill. Union Mill Road, you started.
We bought that off of Lawyer Denny.
Okay.
And no money down, just so much a month.
Yeah.
Then he come out there and he told Dad, he said, you need to get this business up there on the road where you can really make some money.
Right.
Instead of out here.
Yeah.
Daddy told him, well, I can't afford nothing. He said, don't you worry. He said, I've got a piece of land up there I'm fixing to divide up into lots. And I've picked out two lots I want you to have for your dish, for your business. Said, you come up there and bid on them till you get them. Said, don't worry about the money.
Right.
I'll take care of the money.
Wow. So the carpenters were very, very much indebted to Mr. Denny because of his belief this could work.
Right. Because that was where the dish barn started, was right there in those two lots.
And I guess if it hadn't been for him, we may not have had a carpenter's dish.
No.
Maybe, but we may not have.
Yeah.
So
Mr. Denny thought a lot of Daddy.
Yeah.
And he helped him get that land.
Now, that was mid-50s, somewhere in there?
Yeah. 56, I think, is when we opened it. That's when we opened it.
At the present location. Been there all these years.
Yeah, it's been there since 1956. I was a senior in high school. I helped build the original dish barn, the first part. He bought most of the stuff at Sears where he could charge it. You know, didn't have to pay for it when he got it. And then Mr. Johns, Herbert Johns, he done some of the grade work, stuff like that, and they didn't have to pay for it right at that time.
Well, what was he mainly selling? Dishes, glassware, and that's
By that time, it got the dishes was the main line.
Okay.
We're still selling them and stuff, but the main thing was dishes. So that's the reason he called it the dish barn.
Now, I guess the word had gotten out by that time, and probably people were coming from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It just kept getting growing and growing, you know, getting a little bigger all the time. Then we built on to that old original part later.
Right.
And just kept building on. Every time we got a little money, we'd build some more room.
Well, was there any other place in our Central Kentucky area that was selling anything like that at all?
No. Only things was some little old small gift shops on the side of the road, like down 25.
Yeah.
Just real small places.
Well,
Daddy built that, and he built one for his 40 by 100, so he has just unreal big.
Right, that was massive.
Yeah.
And?
But that's the way he done everything.
At that time, it was way out in the county, too.
Yeah, it was out there in the country. At that time, see, people didn't realize it. We didn't realize it, but that's what it took to make a business back then was get it where people could get in and out and park.
Right, right.
Because everything's like Nixville.
Yeah.
You had to park and walk a mile to get to a store.
Yeah.
Well, when we built that out there, people could drive right up to the building, get out, and go in and shop.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to stop at that point and talk a little bit about you, because I understand around 56, you actually went off to college after high school. How did that go, and what happened then?
I didn't lie. I went up and walked on the football team, and I didn't make it, and I got cut, so I went in the Marine Corps. And I pulled 6 months in the Marine Corps Reserve, and then I was 7.5 years of reserve duty. But anyways, I went in the Marine Corps and come back out, and I worked in the business, and I will forget these kids nowadays, you know, they stay at home, and Dad told me when I come back, he said, are you going to go to school, son? Or are you going back to school? I said, no, I'm tired of school. I'm going to get me a job.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to get you a job with somebody. He said, 2 weeks, if you don't got to find you a job, you can go work for me. I'll pay you $100 a week.
Yeah.
Back then, that was
a lot of money.
That was about twice what everybody was making.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He said, so if you find you something that good or better, said you take it.
Were you still living at home at that time?
Yeah, but at the end of 2 weeks, said you either go and work for me And said, no matter where you're going to work for me or who you're going to work for, whatever you, if you're going to stay here, mm-hmm. you're going to pay half of what you make for board, room board. Says your mama ain't going to wash your clothes and tend to you no longer. You're going to work, you become a man, you're going to start acting like a man.
Yeah. And you did.
So I found out right quick that I wasn't going to get the freeload off of Dad and Mom. So anyways, I looked and I couldn't find nothing no better, so I went to work for him.
Yeah.
Going around, at that time I was going around some of the country stores. And
I've got a little piece of information here that was in a history book that was submitted by Rosalie Carpenter. She wrote this, and she said in it that when you returned home, you started decorating the white dishes that we bought. You put decals on them and baked them in an electric kiln. Mm-hmm. And you did this until they started manufacturing their own concrete. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was your job, putting decals on plates and bowls. Yeah.
You could buy white dinnerware.
Yeah.
You know, Shackleton white dinnerware for little or nothing. The factories were just about to give them to you, get it out of the way.
What about that?
So we go up there and haul it in here, and we make up white dinnerware sets. Sold them 32-piece set of dinnerware, service for six. We sold it for $1.95.
Oh, my gosh. And made money.
Yeah. We sold them to stores in the country for $1.50.
Wow. Boy, times have changed.
I will forget, me and my father, we went to Ohio and got a load of dinnerware, about 500 sets on the truck, and we brought it to Hazard, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Feldman had a place up there in Hazard. And we brought that 500 sets of dishes in there and unloaded them, and we went back and got another load. People was lined up waiting on the truck to get to the store. And when we got back, them 500 sets was already gone. He done sold all of them.
Isn't that something?
And people were standing in line waiting to get there, and we stopped, unloaded. About half of them was gone by the time we left there. Over 1,000 sets of dishes.
That's amazing. Yeah. You'd think people didn't have anything to eat on at that. Well, now, she mentioned the concrete. When did that start? Because now, if you go, and for the past several years, when you go by Carpenter's, it's hard not to see all that concrete.
Well, we was buying concrete, and selling it.
Yeah.
You know, we seen that. Then Dad, one year there, we couldn't get none. When it come time to sell it, we couldn't buy it. We couldn't find none. It's all gone.
Yeah.
So he got this idea, he'd just buy the molds, we'd make it ourselves.
Now, what did it start at, the concrete? Was it like bird baths? What was...
Well, the flower boxes was the big
thing. Okay.
A little square flower box and a long one. Yeah. And then there's a round urn called a Mexican hat, we called it.
But yeah.
That was the three main ones, and then a little bird bath. And we done that for a long time.
Of course, now you can get about anything that you want made in concrete. Yeah. Now, do you all still make any of what you sell?
We quit making it years ago.
Yeah.
I can buy it cheaper than I can make it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But you still sell a lot. I mean, there's a lot up there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot up there. Well, we move on forward a little bit. And in 1964, your dad had some heart problems, it mm-hmm. seems like, started on him, and he kind of had to cut back a little bit.
He was 55 years old when he had his first heart attack. He had a heart attack every year until he was 62, I guess.
Wow. But he kept going.
Eight heart attack.
Man.
That's when I started studying alternative medicine. I told Dad, I said, they ain't doing nothing for you. I said, you having a heart attack, and just because you're a big, strong man, you're living through it, and you can have another one.
Right.
I said, they ain't doing nothing for you.
Now, he had those heart attacks, and then in 1971 is when you lost Mr. Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop right here and ask you a question about your dad. One word to describe your dad, what would it be?
Well, he was an entrepreneur or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But he always was getting into something. You know, he was never satisfied. And he had an education. He didn't like but one credit hour graduating with a degree in chemistry.
Really? I bet nobody knows that.
No, he never did go back and finish. He never did get his degree, but he could always get a good job because he had such a good, you know, and he was a foreman in B.F. Goodrich, and he got his hand mashed in a press, and the only person that could fire him was the president of B.F. Goodrich himself, because where he got hurt on the job. But he worked there, and then they sent him to Texarkana, Arkansas to be over a factory down there, be foreman, over a factory down there making ammunition during the war. And when they come back to Ohio, they let a bunch of the old guys that was working for him, they let them go.
Yeah.
So he went in and questioned some of the head guys. I said, what are y'all doing letting these men go? I said, they're some of the best workers I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're getting at this age they said, you know, at the age, and it's time to lay them off, let them go. Well, that just burned him up.
Well, sure.
And he told him, he said, well, said, you're going to find somebody to take my place because I'm leaving here. That's what you mean. He says, you ain't going to wait till I get 50, 60 years old and far and let me go.
And it was a good move for him. It was good move.
Yeah, said, I'm leaving here now.
Yeah, that worked out well. Yeah.
So he left. We went back to Arkansas. He loved it down there. We went back down there. Mm-hmm. He went into business, hay business and used car business and went broke in all of them. You know, and,
but he didn't give up.
No, no.
Yeah.
And then he come back to Kentucky to take care of his parents. Uh-huh. His dad had diabetes and they took his leg off. So he come back to take care of them. And he went in the chicken business so he could be there to take care of them.
And that's how that started. Yeah. Well, we lost him in 1971. And then your mom, though, I guess she continued to run the business. Is that correct?
Yeah, me and her.
And in 75, I guess, is when it was incorporated and the whole family was involved then. Yeah. You know, that's one thing about carpenters, because you mentioned early on Sally, a cousin.
Yeah.
I mean, she still works there, isn't that right?
Yeah, she's working right now on the weekends.
And that's been how long? I mean, years and years. This truly has been a family business. I mean, the whole bunch.
Oh, yeah. See, there's a lot of people. Like Mike Johns and I don't know who all, they just several. And Bobby Perkins, his mother worked at Partonish Barn. But there's a lot of young people in this county. That's the first job they had was at the Dish Barn.
Right. You know? And you've worked, of course, your wife was there. Your kids have all, I guess, in fact, Danny, are they still there? Danny and Tina and Teresa, do they still do some work?
Teresa's, we've closing it down now because of the county.
We'll talk about that.
You know. So, but she worked right up to this year, and she's laid off now. But Tina's still working.
Yeah,
and her husband's still working. I guess that's the only ones in the family.
A bunch of them for a lot of time.
Still there.
Yeah, I got a granddaughter, Christina. She's still there. Then Margaret Adams. She worked there for 30 years, probably. That was mother's sister.
This has provided a lot of jobs for a lot of people throughout all these years.
Oh, yeah.
When did you all decide to build the big, what is now Champions, the big red barn? How'd that come about? Just more stuff to sell?
Well, I was wanting to build a new building and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. What I aimed to do when I built the red barn, I was aiming to sell the old dish barn.
Okay, move over there.
Move the dish barn up there.
Yeah.
Well, the time I got it built then, Danny and Alicia wanted to run. They wanted to put a business in there, like a higher price.
You know? Right.
So I said, "All right, I'll let them. They done it, and they done good for a while.
Yeah.
Then it didn't do no good, and I sold it.
So now you've got the original building and what you built onto it, selling the housewares and the dishes and still and the glasses and the candles and the flowers. A lot of flowers. Y'all have people up there.
Our biggest business right now is artificial flowers.
Arranging flowers.
Yeah, I've got two girls that make the arrangements. They're just out of the world good.
When did your mom pass away, Monty?
2008. She's 97 years old.
Wow. Of course, 2008 hadn't been that long ago, and so I want to ask you the question about her, but I will about your dad, since he's been gone since 71. What do you think he would say if he could come back and see what Carpenters has grown into in the last 20 years?
Well, he'd be tickled.
Yeah, he'd be pretty proud.
You know, he was sick there a lot, and of course, I'd go and tell you, he had a little farm down in Woodford County. And I'd take him down there, so I spent a lot of time with him while he was having all that trouble with his heart. And he told me once, he said, you know, said, I've had a good life. I've done everything I wanted to do. Said, I wanted to make sure that I started something that would take care of the family after I'm gone.
Well, I tell you what, if he did nothing else in life, he did that right, didn't he?
Yeah.
He would be amazed.
Yeah.
He would be amazed.
Oh, yeah. He went down on that farm and got a guy to work for him, and he went and bought a bunch of baby calves and raised some baby calves, and he had 50 of them. He went over to the stockyard and seen these guys bidding on them, and he went and told this one guy, he said, I've got 50 calves in there just like the ones you just bid on, and I'll sell them to you so much, and that's $10 a head cheaper than what he'd bid. He said, you'll have to come down to the farm and buy them all. So he come down there, the guy come down there, he bought every one of them and told him, said, next bunch you get, call me.
Yeah.
And So he saved a selling charge, and he saved
all of it. Smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man. And that's why Carpenters has survived.
Yeah.
Because he taught you that.
Yeah. And he said, all you got to do is find a way to make a dollar and multiply it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I want to make any money, he said, now I'm going to raise 1,000 calves a year, and I'm going to make $30. I made $30 a head on it.
Yeah.
And he counted everything. If he drove to the town to get feed or something, he put that gas money down as a cost.
Yeah. Right, right.
So he said, I've cleared $30 a head, and now all I got to do is raise
$1,000.
Mm-hmm. I raise $1,000, I'll make $30,000. And back then, $30,000.
Smart man.
Money. Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah.
You mentioned a while ago about Carpenters having to close. That, of course, word is got out and getting out now in the community.
Yeah.
And it's sad in that we're going to see the end of an era. Of course, it's progress, I guess, and that's what's caused this, is the bypass coming in, correct?
Right. Plus all the competition, and plus the fact that all the factories now are overseas.
Yeah.
All right. I can't go around to the factories and pick up their odds and ends now because it's over. I've got to go to China and buy a container load, and I'm not big enough to handle a container load.
When is this going to happen? Do we know? The closing of Carpenters?
No, we don't have a
date yet.
It started in 2003.
All right, so it's been closing for 12 years.
Yeah.
Could be a little bit longer then.
And it's been my property tied up. I couldn't sell it. I couldn't do nothing with it. See? Plus, when they built the road, put the four lane in. When they put the four lane in, my business went down. That's the first year that my business didn't increase.
Yeah.
Because 60-something percent of my business come out of Fayette County.
Right.
Well, the women drive out there and they pull in the dish barn fine. When they get ready to go back to Lexington, they got to get across four lanes of traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't come back.
Right.
If you don't get return business, you don't do no good.
Well, we hate to see Carpenters come to an end, whenever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be another few more years. Who knows? But as was just mentioned, the dream that your dad and your mom had certainly came to fruition and supplied not only Jessamine County, but a lot of people in this state, because you had people come from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We had people come every year from Michigan and up in the north that was going to Florida.
Stop on the way.
Of course, when we first opened, 27 was the route to Florida.
Right.
You know, was the main
was
route.
No interstate.
Yeah. Then they built the interstate. Mm-hmm. I know Dad was always, he was afraid the interstate would ruin us, you know, because we did do so much business from those northern states. When they go to Florida, when they went home, they stopped by on the way back and load up.
Well, Carpenters has provided a lot of good things to the people in this area. A lot of a lot of food has been eaten on plates that came from your store.
Yes.
And a lot of flowers have been grown in pots that you all made. And the one thing about Carpenters is that whenever it should end, the memories will continue on. And a lot of people will still have in their homes things that they purchased there and bought there and their parents have handed down to them. And it's kind of neat to think that a man selling chickens.
Yeah.
Selling chickens.
Well, see, that's like in the
decided
chicken
to sell a dish.
He went in the chicken business, and one time we had 6,500 chickens.
Oh my gosh!
So he done everything in a big,
in a big way.
Yeah,
in a big way, and he did it right, and he did it good. Yeah. And your mother did too. Sell her short, because
was.
I'd say if the truth would be known, she was a rock behind it all.
Oh yeah, she had a 8th grade education. Huh?
Yeah,
and she of course done the biggest part of the book work.
Right.
But if she had any problems, she always had Dad to go to, you know.
They worked together.
You know, he was a whiz at math.
Yeah.
But well, he could just take his finger and go down an invoice like that and get out the bottom, he'd tell you whether it was right or not.
Smart man. He's going to be a chemist. He better have been. He should have been smart.
But he could figure in his head faster than you could write it down.
Well, Monty, you just need to know that Carpenters has been in a very important part of this community. And it's one that was always been well thought of, and I think that the Carpenter family have done themselves well. You should be proud of that, and especially proud of the fact that your mom and dad set all this up to take care of their family. Yeah. That was their goal, and their goal was met. Not a lot of people can say that. Well, here's what our wish is now as we get ready to end this program. Our wish is that those people that are listening, if you've never been to Carpenter's Dish Barn, this is your chance, is to go up and see the place, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Go up and visit and see it, and when you walk into that main building there, you're walking into a 60, 70-year-old piece of history. Yeah. Go up and see them and see all they've got. Monty, I appreciate you coming in. Time has flown by. I told you it would go quick. But I appreciate you doing it and helping us to preserve some history of our county and people that were a very important part of our county. Your mom and dad and you and Sandra and all the carpenters. We appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Monty Carpenter for coming in and talking to us today about Carpenter's Dish Barn and his family. Carpenter's Dish Barn. A lot of people in Central Kentucky have visited over the last 60 years. We appreciate you tuning in to All Things Jessamine. Hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll be back next week at 11 o'clock. We do it for you every Saturday morning right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.